You're listening to a podcast of Vancouver Canucks hockey on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. This is the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show.
Gets it top of the point. Long wrist shot. He scores. It was tipped in front by Tyler Toffoli. The hat trick goal for the former Canuck. And the Canadians take their first lead of the game. It's 5-4. Here's JT Miller through the middle into the Montreal zone. Forced wide to the right corner by Sherratt. Back into the slot. Besser shoots and scores. Brock Besser in the slot rips it over the stick side of Carey Price.
With the instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Now here's Toffoli. Needs to score for the Canadians. Into the slot. Snapshot. It looked like he hit the post. He did indeed. And the Canucks win.
On the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks win in a shootout. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker. You can chime in to the conversation, 650-650, our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Canucks win a much-needed one in a shootout here, Andrew. And, you know, we talk about guys like Pedersen and Hughes. People want them to step up in a big way. Well, it was the other Canucks stars who had a huge game. Bo Horvat, two goals, including the shootout winner. JT Miller put the team on his back on a rush and had a fantastic game, and Brock Besser got things going. It was the other stars who shone the brightest tonight, Wax.
Yeah, you have to give me a second. I'm just finishing Wax's thoughts on Twitter.com, which will be up soon. There, I posted it. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot to get into, I would say, on this postgame show, don't we? 6-5 in a shootout. That game was drunk, as the kids say.
It absolutely was.
Yeah, the Canucks power play wakes up. It's a big story to this game. And it's a huge goal towards the end of the third. Because, man, when that Tyler Toffoli hat-trick goal goes in, and you're thinking, after all this, Canucks might lose this one in regulation as they trail for the first time late in the third. Oof, that had the potential to be a really tough sequence.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's a huge rush by JT Miller. This team needed him back. He had a huge night, and Brock Besser has his second two-goal night of the season so far. So they get that 2 points. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of this, Sat, and I want to impress on everyone, this game still felt like preseason. This five-game stretch, it still feels like preseason. So many of these goals for both sides, I don't think they happen in game 30 or game 40. So as you sit here grateful for the win, 2-3 goes a long way. You don't want to nitpick too much because, again, a lot of it still feels like not midseason form.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know that Quinn Hughes had a couple of helpers in this game, but he really hasn't flashed the fine form we usually see from him, right? I mean, -4 on the evening, a couple of defensive breakdowns, although he was leaned on heavily by Travis Green, playing 27 minutes. Same thing with Nate Schmidt, who played 27 minutes and 42 seconds. Elias Pettersson, great first period, had a hard time getting things going. Let's welcome in Corey Hirsch into the conversation. And Hirschy, it wasn't exactly the way the coach would have liked to draw it up, but how big is it for this team to get this victory, especially with the way this game unfolded?
Oh, confidence, right? And just makes you feel good. Like, even if you lose in a shootout, it still feels like you lost, right? So you feel like you won today. You feel like you can go and you can come back tomorrow, feel good about yourself, and you know that the power play is working again. And then you could start from there. There's nothing worse than feeling like you're not scoring on the power play, you're getting scored on the PK. But JT Miller on the power play, and you know, what a difference that makes when you have a guy like him in the lineup. He was great tonight.
Well, he was. And you look at what this team really needs to really get going here and get to that next level. It's about everything clicking and falling into place, and that hasn't quite happened yet. But they are getting a bit closer, don't you guys think?
They really are. I mean, it's They're getting closer to the game. It's, defensively, they're just not quite there, right? I mean, defensively, it's they've got a lot of work to do and to clean up, but that's probably the worst defensive game I've seen Quinn Hughes play. So the good news is he's going to get better, and they still got 2 points out of it. But, you know, they're getting closer to their game, and the power play worked tonight. So, you know, this is something to build off of. Was it a great game? No, because Montreal is going to play better, and we're not going to see Carey Price play like that too often.
I mean, Quinn Hughes is an interesting case study because he is going to fall into points easily enough. Like, he's got 5 points already this season to lead the team or tied with Horvat. And you're right, like, he struggled in his own end tonight. He got walked a couple times. He was minus four on the night and still had picked up 2 assists. He is going to finish this year up around a point per game. Like, that is the points that this kid falls into. He's great in the power play, all of that. And it doesn't mean he excels in every facet of the game every night. Tonight was one of them. You know, in a 6-5 game, obviously you're going to have a few guys that are culprits on the back end, but it's not necessarily Quinn Hughes' strength. And I think a lot of that... Listen, I would not have re-signed Chris Tanev, but also this is still the preseason, and Quinn Hughes is, you know, learning to play with different partners, and there's been a lot of Travis Hamonic so far, and I'm not going to judge Hamonic too harshly because, again, this guy hasn't played in a long time, and there has not been a preseason, but he has not been good so far, and I think everyone's kind of adjusting to all that.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things we're going to see here as the season goes on. And, you know, good coaching plays a big part into this stuff too, right? I mean, look at Claude Julien, for instance, how he has that team humming and how they adhere to the system they have and put in place. The Canucks, well, they like to take more chances. They want to be far more aggressive with how they play. So at what point do we look at the Canucks and say they will be the finished product? When do they kind of fall into gear here? And, you know, all these teams will go through ups and downs, right? We've seen this before. With other teams, they get off to a good start, then they kind of hit the skids a little bit. How do you react from it? The Canucks, well, they kind of got off to that skittish start early this season. That's kind of where they're trending towards now. But once they do play their best game, I do think we will look at this team a lot differently than we have through the first 5 games of the season.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. I am concerned right now. Hamonic looked like he was hurt at the end of the game. And he didn't come back out, so that concerns me. And Edler being out concerns me. So now you might be down 2 defensemen. So let's wait and see the news for it to come out. But yeah, they're not even close to what they're going to be. But this team still, for me, like, Jacob Markstrom made up for a lot of errors last year, mm-hmm. And defensively they looked a lot better than they were because of good goaltending. So this is a team that still needs to clean up their act defensively and their game defensively, because you are not going to win game 6-5 every night. It's just not going to happen. So that was not a great defensive effort again. And I think of all the games where I can't blame the goalie. Yes, the goalies have to be better, but I can't say it was 100% the goalie's fault. They just weren't good tonight. So they need to clean up their defensive play, especially off the rush, man. With speed, they are really struggling with that. But, you know, that's the negative. The positive is that they've got 2 points, and this team scores at will. They've got guys that can score and get you back in the hockey game. I mean, it's 5-4 Montreal. And JT Miller flies down the ice, and Brock Besser buries one, right? That's nice to see it. It's sure, because I've seen it the other way when you don't have those guys and the other team scores late with 4 minutes to go, and you know the game's over. So that's the good news, is they've got some good things going offensively. They've got some guys humming along. We know Pettersson's going to get better. We know that Quinn Hughes is going to get better. I am just concerned with the overall team defensive play in their own zone. If they don't clean that up, man, we are going to have nights like this all year long.
Yeah, chances are Edler, you know, will probably miss some time, unfortunately. Now, Hamonic never did leave the game. He was on the bench, and I think we had gotten to that point of the hockey game where he probably wasn't going to be back on the ice anyway. So we'll see. Hopefully he's okay, and at the same time, the way he's been playing so far in the year, it wouldn't be a huge loss. But I do believe that Hamonic is going to get better. Again, I think certain guys are really hurt by not having a preseason and a full training camp and time to really get their feet under them. I mean, and Travis Hamonic tops that list. We know that.
Yeah, and you've got Jordy Benn sitting there, right? So you're okay. You've got some guys you can plug in. Yep.
And Chatfield was so. And I thought Chatfield was okay tonight.
He was good. I thought he was good. Like, he didn't look out of place. Like,
he played 15 minutes. You know, Travis Green's not playing Olajuwon 15 minutes, although, you know, maybe in a game like this he would have had to with the injuries. But
yeah. And, you know, my thing right now is still that line of Roussel, Gaudette, and Vertanen. And I thought Vertanen was good tonight. I thought he was better. Gaudette was just okay. But Roussel, in another game, did nothing for me. And, something's got to give. You either got to sit him out or, you know, like, something's got to give. He played just over 8 minutes, took another penalty. So I would love to see Hoglander on that left side with Gaudette. Sit Roussel out, bring in McEwen. Hey, if you're not going to do the job, you know, I know we're paying you, but we'll get McEwen, and McEwen will do the job, or somebody will do the job. I'm, you know, Roussel as a person, I enjoy him as a person. He's a good guy, but I have to be objective to what he's done on the ice. And for me, it is just not enough. And Gaudette needs somebody to play with. And it's time to give Gaudette a winger that he can play with, that can give him some skill, that can give him the puck back, and that gives him a chance. And so for me, you know, Roussel, you got to make a decision on him here pretty soon, and because he just has not been good enough for me. And I maybe agree or disagree, but give Gaudette a chance with some skill. There's that third line. They've now become the fourth line, and it's not good enough.
Yeah, listen, Roussel, you're right. Roussel didn't give you anything tonight, like nothing. He played 8:54. I'm not going to kill him for the penalty because I didn't think it was a very good call. That said, he took it. I didn't love Jake tonight either. I was screaming when he dumped it in on 3-on-3 overtime. What are you doing? I mean, you know, the White Rock Whalers in the Burnaby Men's League know not to dump it in 3-on-3. That was a killer. You might not see Vertanen play a lot of OT after that. But you're right. That line has been a little all over the place. And even Gaudette, like, this is an interesting case study. No one intrigues me more on this team than Gaudette in the sense of, there's something there. We all know there's something there. He had jump again tonight, but there's still these little plays on, you know, the wrong side of the puck and defensively that it's tough for that guy. I want to see that guy get more ice, but it's tough for him to get more ice because there's still a lack of a trust, you know, factor, and he's not in the top six. So I like Gaudette, but, you know, this is a team that also, it's not about developing players. It's about winning games right now. And you still got to develop those guys in a third line role. But yeah, Gaudette's tricky for me right now on this team.
And that's why I'd like to see him with a little bit more skill to complement, just to see what he can do. Right. And that's, even if it's for a period or two periods, just to see, just to change it up a little bit. And that's why, you know, I'm thinking Hoglander is probably the guy that I would throw there, because his energy, you know, I know he's young, but his energy, he's got a little bit of skill, and that's a line that'll go 100 miles an hour and just do anything you ask him. If you put Gaudette, Hoglander, and McEwen together, I think that would be something like they would just go and they would just do what you, like, dogs on a bone, right?
And,
I mean, that's what you want.
And could you, I don't, listen, I don't mind giving Tyler, bumping Tyler Mott up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, up to where? The third line?
Well,
or,
no,
I mean,
if you were going to put Hoglander with Gaudette and McEwen, then you'd put Mott with Horvat and Pearson.
Okay, I don't hate that idea at times, but I'll say this. That Beagle-Sutter-Mott line was humming tonight. I mean, that was – we sit here and we oftentimes talk about Gaudette, you know, on the third line, Roussel and Vertanen on the third line. The third line on this team is the Beagle, Sutter, Mott line. I mean, they're the ones that get ice time. And you got to give credit. I mean, those three guys were humming tonight, and that's why Travis really trusted them late. Now, we're going to get back to a lot of this discussion. We're going to hear from Travis Green when he gets to the podium, but we have Dan Murphy standing by with Bo Horvat, who was one of the stars of this game. Dan?
Well, Bo, I don't know where to start, but just how about winning a game in that fashion? You'd led all game, fall behind late to tie it up, and then finally break that losing streak in the shootout.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't make it easy on ourselves, but, you know, we stuck with it. You know, huge play by Millsy and Besser to tie it up, and Holt shut the door on the... in the shootout. So, no, it feels good to get that win at home.
The power play had been over before today's game. You guys get three in this one. How big is Miller in that bumper play to you because he's a left-hand shot to open it up?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he's phenomenal at it, one of the best in the league, in my opinion. And, you know, he just finds me in there, and I just try to get open for him, and he makes the play. So it was a great pass by him in my first goal and a great pass by Bess in the second. So we just got to keep that thing, you know, keep it rolling.
You've got four shootout goals in your career. All four are game winners. How does that sound?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that stat until you told me, but no, it definitely feels good to get that win. The boys played hard tonight, and we deserved it.
Finally, what was it like seeing Tyler Toffoli on the other side?
Of course, he gets a hat trick, too. I mean, he, he played, obviously, you know, he's a heck of a goal scorer and a good guy to have around the room. You know, Montreal's got a great player, but it definitely feels good to get the last laugh there.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bo Horvat with Dan Murphy. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. You want to grab a phone line, you could do so. 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. Also hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox 650-650. We'll get to all your calls and a lot of your reaction. We're going to hear from head coach Travis Green in a second. Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker and Corey Hirsch here on Sportsnet 650. And isn't it amazing that we look at a guy like Quinn Hughes, who now leads this Canucks team in points, but I think universally we all agree that we haven't even seen Quinn Hughes get anywhere near his best game, has struggled in his own end, but you see the offensive potential he has, right, Hershey? Mm-hmm. But if he does clean up that defensive game just a little bit, I mean, he could take that big step, but a tough night in his own zone, but you saw what he did on the power play.
Yeah, maybe it's getting used to a different partner. Maybe it's something, right? It's but then the defensive side. But man, you can't replace those offensive skills that he has and the calmness he has with the puck when he's good. So, you know, we're going to give Quinn Hughes a mulligan on this one because they still got 2 points, and this kid has done so much for for this team and this organization, and for years to come, it'll be the same. So. Quinn Hughes is probably the least of my worries on this team. So I want to see this team come out tomorrow, and I want to see them back this game up. I don't want to see it be a one-off or a lucky win. I want to see them back this game up and have some confidence. And I know they can do it. We've seen it before. You know, that's something that I'd like to see.
The one thing, and again, I think we saw it tonight, that really impresses upon me in this Canadian division is, you know, I think there was some debate, you know, people like, wow, this division's going to be great, and people said, well, how many, you know, real good teams are there? The thing is, a lot of these teams are pretty equal, and, you know, you're not going to see a ton of nights where one side gets blown out. I think it's really, really difficult to put together any type of win streak in this division. Any type of win streak. Like, I want the Canucks to build on this too, but, like, there's no way they're beating Montreal 3 straight games, and there is no way that Montreal is going to beat them 3 straight games. You are going to win one and lose one for the duration of this. And, you know, it's early season and a 3-game losing streak for the Canucks. And you're not going to be able to get away with that very often. A 3-game losing streak felt like it lasted for weeks because teams around you were picking up wins, but you know the bottom line is winning streaks are going to be hard to come by, and this thing is going to be tight for months. I really feel that.
You know what? That's a very valid point because you know you're not going to go into LA, you know, get a win and then catch Anaheim on a back to back. And
right.
then come home and catch a team that's just flown in. You know, like you're not going to get those win streaks on where you got a bit of a break on easy teams. Like this is, I mean, arguably Ottawa's really the only kind of the weak team out of all the Canadian teams, and they've loaded up. Like they've got Murray in goal, they've got a much better team, and they play hard. So this is especially the Canadian teams. There are no easy games. And you're right. I think it's going to be like this all the way along. You're going to see one win, two wins, loss, two losses. Win. Like it's going to be that way all the way down the stretch.
Well, it's going to be hard to gain a lot of separation. And, you know, it's about trending in the right direction. I mean, right now the Canucks are sitting there, you know, 2-3 on the season. I mean, very close to 500. Get a victory tomorrow, you're at the 500 mark, and, you know, it's all upwards from that point on. But we're still looking at this team piecing together a good 60 minutes, right? I mean, another good first period tonight. I thought, you know, they weren't as bad, obviously, in the final 40 as they were in Calgary, but some uneasy moments. And again, in the third period, it was Montreal who carried play for the most part, despite the game being tied at that point. So we still have not seen this team really put it together yet, right? And that's kind of what we're still waiting on. And, you know, you look at a team like Montreal, I mean, they're already kind of playing their top game. I mean, I don't know how much better Montreal can be as a team at this point. Maybe they can allow a bit less. Carey Price maybe not allow 5 goals on 28 shots, for instance. But I think we're seeing Montreal pretty much be at the peak of their powers. I mean, Tyler Toffoli had a hat trick tonight. I'm not sure we can see Montreal be significantly better than what they are right now.
Montreal is an interesting team because of all the guys that they brought in. And you saw today when Carey Price doesn't play well, they're really just an okay team, but they've got some skill in scoring. I like some of their young guys. I like Suzuki. I think Drouin played much better than I've seen him play in the past. And then they've got some big guys on the point, like Shea Weber, when he lets that bomb go. My goodness, did you guys feel bad for Jay Beagle?
He almost injured a few guys tonight.
Oh, can he rip it? And I was saying on the broadcast, like Al MacInnis hit me once in the blocker and just it pushed my hand back and almost broke my hand, and I had goalie equipment on. I can't even imagine what the Shea Weber one-timer, you know, teeing it up would feel like in the shin pads. So good on Jay Beagle for coming back for that.
And, you know, as far as the injury front goes, Alex Edler did not return. We're going to hear from Travis Green here, who gets to the podium momentarily, but if he is out for any extended period of time, even though he may not be the same guy he used to be, I mean, that's a big blow for this team. We saw Jalen Chatfield be fine, right? I mean, not a Jordy Benn is available, but, you know, can this team really afford having Alex Edler out for any extended period of time?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. They don't have quite the depth on defense that you'd like them to have. So I guess we'll wait and see how it kind of plays out and what they do with it. But do you put – I got to think that Jordy Benn's going to come in. I got to think that Yolevi's probably going to sit for a little bit. You're not going to have Yolevi and Chatfield in the lineup at the same time, I don't think. And Chatfield was, like you said, Walks, I don't know what you thought of Chatfield, and you said you liked him. But, you know, realistically, I mean, is this a guy you think, too, that can play, you know, as a regular in the National Hockey League? I mean, he was decent tonight.
I mean, it's his first NHL game, right? Yeah. So there's definitely some emotion. There's some energy. It's far different playing heavier minutes in Game 40. I think we know that. But he can skate, and he can move it, and he has good puck-moving instincts, and it's the way they're trying to build out this D, right? We know Quinn Hughes can do it. We know Myers can do it. I thought Schmidt was really good tonight. He's capable of doing it. So, so far so good. I like Chatfield's game. I think it would be great for this team if one of Yolevi or Chatfield or Rathbone is like, hey, this, you know, he's a young, developing, improving, up-and-coming defenseman that can play regular minutes. I'll take it with a grain of salt. I'm still treating this like preseason, and there's been a lot of guys that have looked really good in preseasons, right? Hoglander, the league, I like Hoglander a lot. He's going to be a big part of this team in years to come, but the league's already catching up to Hoglander when things tighten up. It's going to be a learning process for him. You know, now he's on pace for about 9 points. It's going to be tough for him. There's going to be tough moments for Chatfield and Yolevi too. And, you know, if this team was rebuilding and you just throw a bunch of rookies to the wolves and you say, hey, like, you know, we're going to throw you in the deep end, hope you know how to swim. This team needs to win games. So those guys got to find a way to contribute in smaller roles with smaller minutes while still trying to develop.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see how this goes as far as how they're going to deploy guys. especially on the back end. But, you know what, sometimes you find a gem. So give Rathbone a chance. Let's see it, right? I want to see some of these guys. I want to see what you got back there for skill and what you've been developing at times. If Yolevi's not ready to take that step, which it didn't look like in those first four games, I thought he was okay, but he still looked like he was tentative and hesitant. Let's give someone else a look. And it's just such a strange year for these guys because, you know, where are they going to get the games and where are they going to get all the minutes? And, you know, there's no Utica, there's no, right? I mean, so it's a tough situation where you're going to have to try and get Yolevi the minutes in the National Hockey League right now.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I do think they're going to have to use him at some point here, right? I mean, they use him earlier on, and especially if Edler is out, he'll probably get back into the lineup. I do think we are going to see Jack Rathbone here at some point, right? I do think we're going to see Jack Rathbone get a chance, and we'll see ultimately how he plays. We have a lot of questions and comments to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Unsigned question is asking you, Hershey, what do you think of Braden Holtby so far, and who should start tomorrow?
Yeah, Braden Holtby's been I thought he was great in Edmonton. He was just okay the last couple games. Hasn't been his fault, but I think he can be better. But as far as, like, you need some help, right? You need, as a goalie, if you're giving up two-on-ones and tips and breakaways, you're going to get scored on, and that's just the way it is. No National Hockey League goalie is going to be able to steal game after game after game when you play like that. So he's going to need some help, but not good enough so far. Nobody's taken the reins. I would be playing Thatcher Demko tomorrow. It's a back-to-back situation. And I would give him the chance. I would give Thatcher Demko a chance to step up. But the team's got to play for Thatcher Demko too, right? That's got to be part of it. He got the back-to-back in Edmonton. And sometimes when you get on the back-to-back on the opposite side, on the wrong side, you look worse than you actually are. So, you know, I think you give Thatcher Demko a couple starts here. Let's see what he can do and give him something where he's not looking over his shoulder.
What do you want to see from Thatcher Demko here for him to get a run? Like, does he need to and I'm not saying what you would want to see, but as far as Travis goes, like, does Demko need essentially to have a wow moment for him to get the next game as well? Or does he just have to be okay? Like, what do you think? Because it's pretty clear that right now Holtby is going to get the nod if push comes to shove. So what does Demko have to do to earn that and take that away for Travis?
He's got to show some consistency and kind of taking the reins. Like he's got to do what he did in the playoffs, right? Just you get in there and it's like nobody's beating me, you know? And he doesn't have to make 50 saves and crazy like he did, but you got to have that swagger, that confidence, that look, this is my team, right? And that's what Thatcher Demko's got to do. He's got to step up and say, look, this is my job. I'm going to take it. I'm going to grab the reins, and I am not looking back. And right now, it just seems like he's kind of like still feeling his way a little bit. You know, am I the one? Am I the two? What am I here? No. You know what? You go out, and you go with the attitude, and you go home tonight, and you go, you know what? I'm going to take this, and I'm going to run with it. This is my job. This is what I want. And this is what I'm going to do. And it's a mindset, and it's an attitude, and you show your teammates that when you get in the net.
Hershey, always a pleasure, man. I know you got to run. We look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow on the pregame show. Puck drop coming up at 6:30. Guess what? Canucks and Habs yet again.
Yeah.
So you get to call this one more time, Hershey.
Love it.
Awesome.
It's always fun. Thanks, gents.
That's Corey Hershey here on the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Lots of reaction to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox as well, 650-650. You know, Walks, the Canucks really needed a victory like this. It wasn't pretty. You know, it got dicey at times. But as far as confidence goes, and you've been through this before playing team sports, you know you have a decent team, but when you're not winning, it gets to you. And when you're in a game like this where you keep taking the lead over and over again, the other team comes back, they take a 5-4 lead, and it looks like, okay, well, this one's going to melt away from you. They tie it up, and they win in the shootout. It was ugly. It wasn't the way you wanted it. But it's one of those... We can catch our breath here. Things kind of broke for us for once.
Yeah, listen, if you were to tell me before the game or to tell Travis Green, the penalty kill was going to be 0% tonight and you're going to give up 5, I mean, he would have put a fist through the wall, right? Like, that's a real, after all that and I know they haven't had a ton of practices, but you're going to preach the defensive side of the game and all that. that would have been a nightmare. But the power play was great, and they scored five themselves, and then the shootout winner on top of it. Big night for Bo Horvat. So I know I keep hitting this stat, but like, you have to balance giving yourself a bit of a break in the sense of, like, if you are out there wondering, like, why don't they look as sharp as, like, why isn't like this like the playoffs? Like, why are they looking a little sloppy and guys don't have chemistry? It's because this is game five of the preseason. Like, that's why. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's, you have to balance the idea of, hey, we're not going to be perfect and tight all the time with, it's a 56-game season, so we have to battle through this and mm-hmm. find a way to win a few games ugly. And winning tonight, that's a big 2 points, man, because it gives you a little more time to figure things out, and you can't lose touch with the division. Like, it's going to be tight the whole way. And sitting there, if you're 2 points or 4 points back of that playoff line, I mean, that's okay. That's okay, as long as you're getting your game in order. And, you know, they took some strides tonight on the power play, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, JT Miller getting back, and we know how important he is to this team. Brock Besser looks like he's going to have a strong offensive season. There was a couple off games in between, but Bo Horvat is scoring goals like he did in the playoffs as well. So things are coming around, but if you're expecting this team to strap it in like the 1994 New Jersey Devils, we're five games in, and the preseason wouldn't be over yet. So it's important to win, but I think we got to take some of these games and the sloppiness with a grain of salt. It's predictable.
It is predictable early on, and the thing is, and this is what we have to navigate, you know, as observers, as media, and even as fans watching this, it's, yeah, you got to give time for things to percolate and fall into place, but you can't be overly patient, because if you just say, hey, it'll be fine, it'll be fine, it'll be fine, next thing you know, you're at game 25, and it's like, whoa, we only have, you know, 30 games remaining in the season, now we're four games under 500. That means we got to essentially go 20-10 the rest of the way to make the playoffs. And that's a tough thing to do. You don't want to be in a position here, Walks, that you're staring at the second half of the season looking at potentially having to go 5, 7, 8, 10 games over 500, because that's a hard thing to do in this division.
But also, like, no one's running away with this, right?
Yes.
Like, if someone thinks...
Look at the standings right now. Like, the Canucks right now are tied with points with Winnipeg with four. So there are four teams that have... The three teams that have 4 points now, albeit Edmonton and Vancouver, two more games than Winnipeg. But they're right there, only 2 points behind Montreal for the top of the division anyways.
Leafs are a good team. They're going to win a lot of games, right? The Oilers have McDavid and Dreisaitl, but they've struggled out of the gates too. Calgary has looked really good to start the year, and Markstrom's been a big part of that. But there's going to be 3-point games all over the place, mm-hmm. and nobody is beating the same team 3-4 times in a row. It's nearly impossible, and I'm including the Ottawa Senators in that. So no one's going to run away with this division. Everyone's going to be bunched up for a long time. And the teams that eventually fall out of it, it's going to be more to the fact of injuries and COVID protocols and things like that. I really believe that. Like, this is going to be a stress ball for the Canucks. Because they're capable of making the playoffs, but they're not head and shoulders better than Montreal. They're not head and shoulders better than Edmonton or Calgary or Winnipeg. You can argue if they're better or worse, but it's marginal. These teams are not going to be separated by that much.
No, they really won't. A lot of reaction to a Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Bins and Langley says, got to like Chatfield, how he looked tonight. Lots of energy, good plays, hard on the puck, good positioning. Same, and Doug from Victoria echoing the same thoughts on Jalen Chatfield. At the very least, Walks, even if, you know, it's hard to gauge what the overall future is for him and how he's going to play long term, it was a promising enough game from Jalen Chatfield that he will be playing again tomorrow and might get a decent run here from Travis Green.
Yeah, I know Hershey's been beating that drum for a little bit, and I'm not quite buying that, because if it was the plan, you're not signing Holtby to 2 years at
oh no, I mean Chatfield, like, when it comes to the back end,
oh,
of it, right?
The back end. Yeah, okay, sorry. I like Chatfield tonight, and his quote, if you heard it tonight, post-game. He says, I felt good. He said, I wasn't nervous. I just played my game. I moved my feet. Mm-hmm. I moved the puck. And this is not, listen, this is not to, you know, slag Ole Yalevi. It is what it is. I like Chatfield a whole lot more tonight than I did Yalevi. I mean, there's no way Chatfield's coming out next game.
Right.
So
well, yeah, and I think that's important, too, because if Edler is out, who moves into the top four? Right now, it's not going to be Jordy Benn coming out of nowhere to go into the top four, right? It's probably going to be Jalen Chatfield that gets those minutes.
Yeah, I mean, if Hamonic's out.
Right. I mean, even the way Hamonic has played, like, you know, it's only one game from Chatfield, but we are assuming that Hamonic can be better because yeah. Hamonic has been better. But as far as the season goes, what I saw tonight from Jalen Chatfield was better than anything I've seen from Travis Hamonic so far this season.
Yeah,
and again,
very true. And he's young. And young, got the legs, exactly. Got the spring. Yeah.
But that's what it's about. Like right now, it's the point you've made numerous times. It's not about long term, short term. It's about who's giving me the best chance to win tonight's hockey game.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what we're going to look at tomorrow.
Well, and he's going to play at least 15 minutes tomorrow. And you're going to play Myers a lot. You're going to play Schmidt a lot. You're going to play Hughes a lot.
And, you know, Quinn Hughes played 27 minutes tonight. And I want to spend a minute on it because, you know, I threw something out. And, you know what, we'll talk about this more. But here's head coach Travis Green at the podium.
Hey, Travis, certainly a pretty entertaining game tonight. What did you like about your team's performance?
Oh, it was a back and forth game there. It's nice to get 2 points for sure tonight. That's a good hockey team over there. I liked a lot of our game. Obviously, there were some parts that I didn't think we were quite tight enough, but it was a step in the right direction from last game.
Do you have an update on Edler or Hamonic?
No.
Next up is Farhan Lalji.
Travis, obviously a lot to like offensively. You mentioned you like certain parts of your game. Quinn Hughes had to play heavy minutes tonight, over 27 minutes with Edler's injury and Hamonic as well. Appeared to struggle at times in his own end. How would you assess his game?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to sit there and say that he struggled when a guy is minus four. Sometimes he's not involved in all the plays. Might not have been his best game. Whenever you're minus four, it definitely isn't, but we'll look at the tape. We'll talk to him tomorrow and he'll be fine.
I know it's only game five, but did you feel a certain level of urgency and desperation to get 2 points tonight?
Yeah, I felt our team stepped up their overall compete for 60 minutes. We talked about that the last few days. Really liked our first period in Calgary. I thought we were a lot better for longer stretches of the game tonight, for sure.
Next up is Jeff Patterson.
Travis, probably not how you drew it up this morning to have Jalen Chatfield play 15 and a half minutes in his NHL debut and getting late minutes in the game with Edler out and Hamonic hurt as well. But he certainly looked like he was up to the challenge. What did you think of Chatfield?
Yeah, liked his game a lot. I thought he played a good game. Quick skater, takes away time and space. Thought he had a real solid game. It's happy for him.
And I asked you after the game in Calgary, and we talked about discipline on the part of your hockey club, and it had to be better. I would imagine that was something that you guys had discussed, but just the one penalty tonight?
Yeah, we did. We talked about a lot of things. It's that time of year. You're still trying to get the foundation for your game, for your details, for your structure. You're not going to win a lot of hockey games in the league if you keep taking a lot of penalties, and our guys did a good job of that tonight.
Next up is Thomas Drance.
Travis, Brock at that down low spot, both had two big points there, one an assist up to Horvat in the goal. What are you seeing in terms of his development there and what he brought tonight especially?
Yeah, you know, I think that was a new position for him last year. And I can see that he's a lot more comfortable. He's learned that spot. I've talked about that a lot. You know, young power play guys, they can be really skilled, but they have to learn little intricacies of the power play. And he's definitely a guy that's done that.
And with the Pedersen line, the so-called Lotta line, when perhaps it wasn't their best game or sort of vintage form, but in terms of some of their dangerous stuff they can do in transition and their forecheck, there were elements that you saw tonight that maybe we hadn't seen in that first Calgary game. What do you think's the key for that line to get going?
They were better tonight for sure. There's so much, feels like every game the media is trying to find something to talk about, and they haven't, maybe Petey hasn't had the best start he wants, but tonight their power play, he doesn't get a point, but he's a big part of the power play. And I thought that line played a lot better tonight. They were driving the offense. It'll come.
And with the final question is Daniel Wagner.
Travis, it's not often that you get five goals past Carey Price.
Yeah.
Especially not on just 28 shots. How do you feel about the quality of scoring chances that your forwards and defense were able to create tonight?
Yeah, you said it. We talked about that after the game. It's not often you score that many goals against him. He's such a good goalie. Obviously, our power play was a big part of it. They got good defense. They had a good team. They defend well, right throughout their lineup. I thought to get five, to get what we needed to win was the most important thing tonight, but that doesn't happen very often.
And you talked before this game, you talked about the scouting that you would obviously do for any team that you're facing, but the penalty kill for the Canadiens was a real strong point for them this season. Did you see something in your scouting that you could exploit, or was it just a matter of your power play connecting the way they hadn't thus far?
I don't think you ever just pick apart a penalty kill in the NHL. You give your players option. Noel Brown does an unbelievable job with our group, pre-scouting, teaching. He's been doing it a long time. But our players are smart players. They want to do well. That's a good hockey team. They got a good penalty-killing unit. Sometimes the puck just goes in the net, and when you have a good power play like we do, when you have the man advantage, you should, no matter what, you should try to find a way to get some chances, and tonight the puck went in the net.
That is Canucks head coach Travis Green after a 6-5 shootout win for your Vancouver Canucks over the Montreal Canadiens. Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker. More of the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics coming up. Your call, 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. More postgame reaction. And we'll talk about the biggest stars in this Canucks team. How are they trending right here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Now, more of the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show. Join the discussion. Text us at 650-650 or call us at 604-280-0650. This is the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Here's JT Miller through the middle into the Montreal zone. Forced wide to the right corner by Sherratt. Back into the slot. Besser shoots and scores! Brock Besser in the slot rips it over the stick side of Carey Price. And the Canucks answer back with a huge goal from Besser, his second of the game. And it's tied at 5.
Welcome back to the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. On the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network, Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker. Canucks win 6-5, 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. What are your thoughts on this shootout win by the Vancouver Canucks? Not pretty, haven't played their best hockey yet this season, found a way to eke this one out. Let's go to Anthony and Courtney, who's been waiting on hold. Anthony, thanks for calling in, man. What you got for us tonight?
I'm glad we won. I think I can replace my cardio workout this week with that game, because I don't think I've had that many heart attacks before. The comment. I don't think I've ever seen Tyler Myers on a 3-on-3 before. That was interesting. I'm glad to see that Bo Horvat has scored 2 power play goals for us while we were, 0 for 17 in the first couple of games. And to pair what everybody else is kind of saying, I love Jalen Chatfield tonight, especially around the context of Edgar was out for most of the game, Hamonic was out for part of the game. He played very well under the circumstances, and considering all those circumstances, you know, I have no complaints. And he just did. He had a really good night tonight, and especially for his first game.
Thanks for calling in. That's Anthony and Courtney. I thought Chatfield had a solid game as well, but overall the defense, a lot of defensive lapses in this game. I thought Myers had a strong game as well, but you know, Nate Schmidt, and I know Babbage Stash asked a question to our text inbox, 650-650 a bit earlier, walks a bit hard to gauge what he is yet. I have a lot of faith in him. I like Nate Schmidt a lot as a player. I think he's going to round into form, but the point Babbage Stash made, at times he seems a little bit indecisive, which isn't all that difficult to understand for a defenseman trying to find his way on a new team. But he hasn't been bad, but I think it is safe to say that we have not yet seen Nate Schmidt emerge the way we know he can.
I feel like everything has to be asterisked by this should be the preseason. Right? Nate Schmidt spent a lot of time on a Stanley Cup contender in the Vegas Golden Knights and now gets thrown into a new team, a new system, an even bigger role here than he had in Vegas. And with no preseason, like, you just throw him to the Wolves and you throw everybody to the Wolves and you're like, all right, go do hockey. It's tough. Like, he's not going to necessarily look like a like an all-star on night one. I actually thought he was quite good tonight. It's the same with Hughes, right? Like, tonight Hughes struggled, but it doesn't take away. It's like, you know he's a good player, and you know he's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, what's wrong with him? Will he ever recover it? Nate Schmidt made a lot of a real good plays tonight, and we're not used to seeing, you know, defensemen being able to, you know, first step and pivot around the net and move the puck up, and it's a welcome change from guys that will just, you know, glass it out and try to eat it in the corner. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of faith in Nate Schmidt. No, has he been perfect? No, but again, I find it really difficult to get the knives out for anybody too much, yeah, given where we are in the season. You know, Quinn Hughes hasn't been terrific, but you know he's going to be fine. Patterson's fighting it. Obviously he's fighting it.
But I haven't seen him lack confidence this much before in the National Hockey League. You could
totally
tell. Like, the first period, he was really good. And then as soon as some things went against him, you could see his shoulders slump a little bit. I talked about that shift. He comes off the ice, you know, slamming his sticks, screaming and yelling on the bench. And it is palpable how frustrated he's getting.
But what are you going to do? Like, you're going to scratch him? Like, no, it's Pettersson. He's your most talented forward. And you just got to trust he's going to work his way out of it. You know, and certain player like JT Miller didn't have a great first game. Why? Because it's his first game. You know, and he didn't take very long. Tonight he was dynamite and had three assists, and you know, him and Horvat were really the ringleaders of the offense. Travis Hamonic has been not very good. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Even Hamonic, man, like, I'm not gonna get the knives out for that guy. Like, there's a certain point where you're like, okay, you know what? Maybe he's lost it. Maybe he's washed. But I don't expect him to be great after sitting out basically a calendar year with no preseason. I mean, why do you think they have the preseason? Like, we always talk about how we hate it and just get rid of it and let's get into the – why do you think they have it? It's not just to make money and concessions at the gate. You have it because these professional players definitely need it. Otherwise, you'd see – a lot of disjointed hockey like we've already seen tonight. Even tonight, the first game on Wednesday at hockey was Edmonton and Toronto. And what's everybody saying to, you know, in the aftermath? It's like, well, it wasn't pretty, but it's a big win for the Oilers. There's going to be a lot of not pretty wins in the first few weeks until you get up to speed. So I think any criticism has to be caveated a little bit with, well, you know what, like, it's, you know, until we get to probably game 7, and that's when the season would begin, and that's when I think we can start to be a little bit more critical.
Now, let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650. Michael in Port Moody is on the line. Michael is no longer on the line here. Walks, you know, let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back. More of your phone calls, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And keep those thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And I see this question from Jimmy about Tyler Toffoli. And
yep.
A lot of talk about why did the Canucks not keep Tyler Toffoli? Why did they not just get rid of one player or not bring back a certain forward who wears number 18, who a lot of people are critical of yet again, and just sign Toffoli? I will tell you why right here on the home of the Canucks during the Canuck Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, Sportsnet 650, and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show. This is where you talk Canucks on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And here goes Horvat, wide onto the left wing. Winds back into the slot, over to the right circle, then shoots and scores. Hard snapshot.
This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active right here on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker. Canucks win 6-5 in a shootout over the Montreal Canadiens, now 2-3 on the season, and they face the same Montreal Canadiens again coming up tomorrow, Walks. And
do you want a little note on the proof of how early season should be preseason hockey is wild? The stat of the night, NHLPR threw this out. Tonight was the first time in 20 years and just the sixth time in Canucks franchise history they earned a win after surrendering four game-tying goals in the same game, because they were up 1-0, then 2-1, then 3-1, then 4-3. The last time it happened was a 6-5 overtime win in 2001 at Edmonton. So if it felt like a wild game, it's because it was. Doesn't happen very often.
No, man. And 20 years ago, the Canucks did something like this, right? I mean, that's how rare this feat was. And it's not an impressive one, right? I mean, when you lose a lead that many times, right? And then all of a sudden you're trailing in the third period. I mean, it wasn't pretty. They had to find a way to come back and win this hockey game. And, you know, you look at what Tyler Toffoli did tonight, right? Gets a hat trick. And we see a lot of reaction to our text inbox.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned the comment Jimmy made. Ian just texted in and said, tired of the JV versus TT narrative, as in Jake Virtanen versus Toffoli narrative. If anything, I think the choice was Toffoli versus Brock Besser. Now, see, so my theory slash understanding of this entire situation, and we talked about this so much over the offseason, Walks, when it came to what the Canucks had hoped to do with their plan. And I do believe, and Jim himself said this, that he has a plan and an idea that he wants to run by ownership, that he would include bringing back Toffoli, bringing back Markstrom, and bringing back Chris Tanev. I mean, that was a hope, and Jim said that numerous times, and they thought they had an idea and a plan to do so. Part of that plan would have been perhaps not bringing back an RFA or two. Now, you can figure out who that is and who that isn't. That's, you know, that's not that hard to figure out, whether you want to think that's Jake or not, whatever.
It's, yeah, I mean, listen, it's
part of it.
Yeah, Jake's getting paid 2.5, and
right, and
they could have moved off from Jake. It doesn't mean you're getting a huge return for him, but you could have said goodbye to Jake, and then there's 2.5 million. That was an option.
And the other thing that you could have done to free up that money was using a buyout on either Sven Berchi or even Brandon Sutter. That would clear up the money. But here's the thing. The Canucks did not get the green light to buy anybody out. And when they weren't given the green light to buy anybody out, it became a lot harder to sign guys to a bigger contract, especially once they went out and got Nate Schmidt as well, right? Because he has a pretty big ticket. And again, if there was a will, there was probably a way to give Toffoli a contract, maybe not bring back, you know, an RFA and figure something out. But I don't think they got the green light here, Walks, to give out a long-term deal unless they found a way to clear more cash out. And I know people draw the distinction and say, well, that means trade Besser to sign Toffoli. I'm not even necessarily sure it had to be that. All I know is the directive was you have to clear up some money, not only now, but also long-term in order to give Toffoli a longer-term deal. Part of it is cash because, hey, you got to be careful with how much cash you're handing out. The other part of it also was, you got to sign Pettersson and Hughes this offseason, and you need a lot of cap space. And they were very, very selective in terms of giving the green light to who could get a long-term contract here. So I see people being critical of Jim. And hey, listen, you can be critical of Jim Benning all you want. That's fine. That's fair. And if you want to be critical of the cap situation and say, hey, had the Canucks had less onerous contracts on the books, maybe it would be easier to get the green light to sign Toffoli. I mean, you can draw that distinction. But as far as not signing Toffoli to a deal, I think this had more to do with the budget and not getting the green light to do what's necessary to sign Toffoli. Right?
Right.
Like, yeah, I think if it was up to I think it was up to management, if they had their way, they would have signed Toffoli to the contract he got from Montreal. And if that meant perhaps moving on from Jake, I think they would have happily done so. So I don't think this was necessarily management saying we're choosing this guy over that guy. I think it's far more complex than that.
Yeah, and there is a narrative where it's like, you know, they just had no money and they were tight against the cap and there was no way they could sign him. And I fought against that for a long time. If they really, really wanted to and got the green light, they could have found a way to make it work and then decisions get made. But I'll say this. Listen, I think Benning's done a decent job the last couple of years. I think he's come a long way, and some people will never forgive him for the early mistakes, the Gudbransons, the Sutters, the Ericssons, right? And that's whatever. That's fine. I think he's done a good job of making up for it with some of his moves. And again, no one was talking about Toffoli after game one when Hoglander looked great, and it was like, wow, look at this plan. But again, the NHL is a tough league. The league is always going to catch up to a kid like Hoglander. He's going to be a big part of this team, but it's going to get tougher for him, not easier this year. But I would say this. Listen, it's a bad look. A night like tonight, mm-hmm. it's a bit of bad luck, and it happens. But there's a reason the camera panned up to, you know, Jim Benning when Tyler Toffoli scores the hat trick. This was, you know, Tanev was always gone. Markstrom was very likely to be gone. I'm not going to freak out about Troy Stetcher. You know, Troy Stetcher's not coming in here and scoring three goals. You're not even playing Troy Stetcher this year. But here was a guy that was debated internally, externally, was not afforded that big of a deal in Montreal, and he comes in here tonight and scores a hat trick. And thank God he won the game because and he hits the post in the shootout because it could have been much, much worse. But it's just, overall, it's not a good look. And this is a weird year, too, because it's not like, hey, Tyler Toffoli goes to the East, and yeah, we'll see him once in the building later mm-hmm. on in the year. This is a 56-game season. They're going to play this team and Tyler Toffoli 9 times. He's going to score 8 to 10 goals against the Vancouver Canucks this year. And Jacob Markstrom is down the road, and you're going to play him 9 times this year. So your decisions, or the things that were unavoidable, good or bad, are going to be right in your face this year. Like, there's no way around it. So, yeah, tonight's not a great look for Jim Benning. Like, there's no other way to paint it, sorry to say.
No, there isn't. And, you know, that's the one that stung. We talked about this so much. Not being able to bring Toffoli back is the one that stung. They gave up a second-round pick and Tyler Madden to acquire him. He was such a great fit on the team. And again, like, I know his teammates love them. I know the coaching staff like them. And I know management like Tyler Toffoli as well. And it's one of the things that kind of sucked about this offseason, that either they weren't willing to or they couldn't find a way to bring him back on a nice number. Right? Like, that's one of the big things. Now, as far as Hoglander goes, great first game, hasn't really come back again. You know, we're still waiting for him to find his game. But right now, there's still this need for another scoring winger on this team to emerge. Tonight, Bo Horvat stepped up. Besser on the wing had a fantastic game. JT Miller was fabulous tonight for the team. But they still need that other guy to emerge here. So who's going to be that guy? Is it going to be Hoglander? Will it be somebody else? And if it's not Hoglander, and if it's not a guy like, say, Jake figuring it out, and I know a lot of people are skeptical about that happening, and if it's not a guy like, say, Tyler Mott being elevated, and, hey, he might get elevated for a time, but he's not staying there for, you know, the entire season. The question is, if Hoglander doesn't figure it out, who's going to be your option to step up?
That's tough, and you got to pray for no injury and no COVID protocol as well, because we saw, you know, where this team is with no Miller. Here's the thing. It's not going to be Hoglander. And, I like him, and I like his energy, and I like his skill. But this is the National Hockey League, and you just can't count on Hoglander being a 5-on-5, you know, 20-goal scorer. He doesn't look out of place, and that's fine, but you don't want top six forwards to not look out of place. I mean, Jake can not look out of place. You need guys that will produce. Hoglander is a great draft pick and great value in the second round, and he pops, man, and he's going to be a big part of this team. But I like him, and we all like him. But Hoglander's not the answer for a team that's expected to make the playoffs and win a round. I think it's unfair. I think that he's a guy, and you're already seeing teams take liberties on him, and he gets squeezed on the boards, and he has a lot of courage. But this is the best league in the world. Hoglander is not going to be a guy that goes out and dominates. Like, man, like Tanner Pearson. Tanner Pearson's an NHL forward, a guy that gets 15 to 20 goals every year, a guy that's won Stanley Cups. This guy's a pro. You trust him on the ice, and even like he hasn't scored this year. Right? And, like, that's an NHL player, where a guy like Hoglander is proving that, number one, he can play in the NHL and get a paycheck. And, like, step number two is producing at a top six level. He had a real nice first night. But guess what? Night one? That was night one of the preseason. Like, that's what that is.
Well, and now, you know, the thing is, he's going to get some rope because the options are not exactly plentiful behind him, right?
And he should get some rope, man. I'm still playing him until the wheels fall off of Hoglander. But guess what? At some point, he's going to have to pay the piper. That's how it's trending. So just don't be surprised when, you know, Hoglander has 2 points in 12 games, and you're like, man, we probably need some more production somewhere.
100%. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650. Bins in Langley is on hold. Bins, thanks for calling in, man. What you got for us tonight?
Yeah, hey, fellas. Great win. Great to get the 2 points here tonight. And I just wanted to bring up the play of Tyler Myers. And I wasn't a huge fan of the Tyler Myers signing, the, you know, 6 for 6, or isn't that what he got? I'm pretty sure.
6 times 5.
Yeah, 6 times 5. And, you know, in last season, during the regular season, I was kind of like, not a huge fan. And then during the playoffs last year, it was like, wow, like, you know, this guy is a force back there. And then so far, watching him this season, it's like watching him clear in front of the net. And, like, I love that punch to the face on Matthew Tkachuk. I know it got us a penalty, and I know they scored on the power play and all that. But, like, I love having that grit back there. Like, I think that's something the Canucks have been lacking for a long time. And I was watching them today, and, like, you know, they tried to clear the puck out of their zone, and it was up high, and Tyler Myers, being 6 foot whatever,
right,
he just, like, jumps up and grabs the puck and throws it down, and, like, and big sticks on the back check. Like, I just wanted to bring up the play of Tyler Myers, and I think he's doing a good job, and he's kind of won me over here. So
he's played a lot better. That's Bins in Langley. Hey, thanks for calling in. We're running out of time here. We're going to be back for more of your phone calls on the other side. Grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. But walks quickly on Tyler Myers. You know, he's had a pretty good start to the season, and he's probably not as bad as some people think.
Real good start to the season, and I think he's even moving a little better this year. As well, and tonight avoided the penalties too, and could have taken a couple, but he's thinking about it. Yep, I know we both stand for Tyler Myers, but he's had a real good start, no doubt.
More of the Canucks Central post game show coming up, presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics on Sportsnet 650.
Courses, training videos, templates, and more to make your company safer.
You're listening to the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show, bringing you the most Canucks coverage in BC, only on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Miller holding on to the puck, half wall, then for Besser, in front, Horvat, he scores! The second power play goal of the game for Bo Horvat.
Welcome back to the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker. Bo Horvat, huge game for the Vancouver Canucks. Scored a couple goals, got the shootout winner. The captain showed up in a big, big way. And so did Brock Besser tonight. We're going to play back some audio from Brock here coming up in a minute before we get to Ian McIntyre to wrap up all our thoughts on this game. But let's go back to the phone boards here for a minute. Walks, 604-280-0650. We have a number of callers who've been waiting online. Let's try to squeeze at least one or two in here. We have Shane on the line. Shane, thanks for hanging in there and calling in, man. What you got for us?
Yeah, thanks. And kudos to the last caller. Some good points. A couple of things. Don't want to push it. could be two or three guys are going through a sophomore slump, perhaps. I don't think I have to mention names, but, you know, maybe we were riding too much hope on guys who are still very young.
Well, I mean, I know you're asking about Pedersen and Hughes, right? I mean, Pedersen more than Hughes. I mean, Hughes is still putting up the points. Defensively, has had some issues. Looks like he might be dealing with something. But I know what you're saying about Pedersen. Like, we haven't seen Pedersen struggle as much as he has these first five games, right?
Well, the thing is, both of them have outrageous skills. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we dream about them bringing the cup to us. But at the same time, because of their outrageous skills, they're the focus of attention, and they have to solve problems all the time. And I didn't mention Thatcher Demko, but it's obvious to me, and maybe it's too early, but it just seems like Holtby is a superior goalie.
Hey, Shane, thanks for calling in. That's Shane and Burnaby calling in. And, you know, Walks, and I know you've brought up that point as well, are we asking too much of these young guys? And the thing is, you got to put everything into perspective, right? And, you know, when I'm hyping up these guys, we're talking long-term how good they are. And it doesn't change four or five games in. Guys go through some struggles, and the National Hockey League is incredibly humbling. No matter how good you are, there will be moments where the league kind of chews you up and spits you out, and you're left picking up the pieces. It's happened to every single player. And that's kind of what Pedersen is going through a bit right now.
Yeah, and I don't think it's the league, you know, chewing up Pedersen and spitting it out. He's around the puck. He's getting chances. He's just not feeling it right now. And again, I keep saying this, but there's no preseason to work out your kinks. It's not a lot of practice time. Pedersen's a little frustrated right now. And, I mean, they scored five goals tonight and feasted on the power play, and Pedersen was in on none of it. Like, that's hard to do for this guy.
Yeah.
And he was still a factor. He still had chances. He still drew
a penalty. Yeah.
Yeah, he drew a penalty that led to a goal. And that's going to be a big key for a guy like that is, okay, things aren't going my way. How do I help the team and not hurt the team? Pedersen's going to be fine. He's going to have a long career. He's not going to just all of a sudden, like, he's not going to turn into Alex Wenberg and all of a sudden be like, wow, what happened to that guy? And, you know, now he's on waivers. Like, it's not going to be a thing with Pedersen. So, you know, this is also the difference, and we've talked about this every game now. This is the difference between analysis and observation and criticism. Like, there might be a day to be critical of Elias Pedersen, but right now, I'm not being critical. It just is what it is. It's the NHL. This is a young guy that's going through it a little bit, right? Quinn Hughes struggled tonight, and it doesn't mean that any of us are saying Quinn Hughes is bad. Quinn Hughes had a bad night, and he still picked up a couple of power play assists because that's what Quinn Hughes does. He's always going to ooze offense and get the points, but, you know, these are guys, and this would be ramped up a little bit more if these guys were both making $8, $9, $10 million, which they're not yet. They will be very soon, and at that point, hey, knives are out, like, and guys are not infallible, and they take criticism. But these are still very important players. But we have to remember, as a market, to toe that line of you know, they're good. They've already won a playoff round. We expect a lot. These guys are very important. The league is getting younger and younger, and, you know, expectations get heaped up. But these guys aren't at their peak yet. They're human. They're going to make mistakes. I would say if anybody is, you know, if we're going to criticize guys, that's what, you know, the Myers and the Schmidts and the Horvats and the Bessers and the Millers of the world are for, because they're more seasoned.
Well, and speaking of Brock Besser, two goals tonight, and we talked about Brock Besser having a big year. Well, he leads the Canucks in scoring. He leads the Canucks in points. He leads them in goals with four goals and 5 points through five games. And here is Brock Besser post-game meeting with the media talking about the game he had in the victory tonight.
Yeah, I think it was huge. We know that we can be difference makers each and every night, and, you know, we felt we needed to be better, even though we were getting good looks. And, I mean, I think we just stuck with our game, and and like we said, I think this morning when we got one, it just felt like the floodgates were going to open, and then we got a few more. So, you know, it was huge to get that going.
For you personally, playing that down low role, are you getting more comfortable with it now? You find Bo to set up the one goal tonight.
Yeah. I think like I told you guys a few games ago, it's a new position, and I'm asking guys that have played there before to try and learn. And I mean, you see how dangerous we are with the setup we have. So it's something I'm still going to be learning at for this whole year, and just kind of reading their defense and from that area of the ice and stuff. So it's been good, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Brock, did you try JT Miller's shootout move, but from the right side in the shootout?
Yeah. I think, honestly, we haven't worked on it a lot. I think we got to work on it a little more. But, we were just talking about it. And, I think just kind of coming in like he does, there's a lot of places you can shoot, just kind of reading off the goalie. So that's a work in progress, too.
And Miller joked a minute ago that they were trying to convince you that the net front, the dirt greasy areas are where goals are scored. How's that coming along, and does it help to get the results you got tonight in terms of buying in?
Yeah, I was sitting over there listening to them. So, just kind of the way this we're set up, we get a lot of pucks in the net, and it's a position where you get a lot of touches, and you can make plays and be a good net front presence when we kind of break their kill down and get shots there and find rebounds and stuff. So I think it's a really good setup, and we're the most dangerous that way. So like I said earlier, it's a work in progress for me still there.
That is Brock Besser, a big performance from the Canucks forward, now up to 4 goals, 5 points, leads the Canucks in goals and points so far this season. This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics on Sportsnet 650. Satyar Shah, Andrew Walker, Canucks win 6-5 in a shootout. And joining us now for the final segment of the show, our triple threat, digital, he does TV, he does radio, and all he needs is one hand, and he does it all with one hand. And he joins us now in studio at the rink, divided by glass, but I get to look at you for once doing this show again, Ian.
Well, that's a great pleasure in life, isn't it, to be able to look through some plexiglass at,
and see the other person you're speaking to?
Yeah. After, I'd forgotten what it was like to try to write 800 words in 40 minutes in a 6-5 shootout game with all kinds of plot twists at the end, and squeeze in a chat with Murph where I have no idea what I said after the game.
Man, I write 800 words in 5 minutes on my DoorDash app like every night. I'm like, hold the pickles, and it's not that hard.
Hello, Mr. Walker.
Hi, I am also on this.
Yeah, I just figured that out. Yeah. I was thinking, where the heck is he? I mean, I know he's little, but I think I'd see.
Hey,
him.
I'm in my own studio here.
Well, very very good. I could have used three hands tonight, but I had one good one, one broken one, and we got through. That was a fun game. I was thinking on my way
would've,
up.
Would have been more fun if it was like game 40.
No,
and,
maybe.
And they didn't need the win so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was thinking on my way up here, it is so odd, right? We're back in this building for the first time since March. It's 10 months, more than 10 months, because it was early March. And the place kind of looks bleak, it's empty. And yet we still know that we're seeing, the fantastic hockey players, and we're seeing the best hockey there is in the world. And we think, well, it's too bad there's not fans here for the players. Because can you imagine the roar tonight, say, when Besser scored? But my thought on my way up here was, it's too bad there's not fans here for us, too. And I don't mean here in the Jim Robson gondola. But at the game, because I think it's easy. We're so accustomed to trying to look for the X's and O's, right? And break down mistakes and give credit to, well-executed plays, that we lose touch, I think. We have the potential to lose touch with this is all an entertainment spectacle for fans. It's an outlet for hope and happiness and exuberance and at times frustration. This just would have been a fantastic night to have a full building. With all the faults in that game, this would have been a really memorable night. Anybody who was here tonight would still be talking about this game years from now. It was that much fun and that wild. And I have to give the Canucks credit because I thought, you know, I wasn't surprised that the Canadians finally took a lead in the mm-hmm. third period, because it just kind of felt that way, you know, and especially with the start and, you know, the Canucks defense in shambles at times tonight. But you got to give them credit for the resilience and finding mm-hmm. a way. Well, a great, great setup by Miller, great shot by Besser, but to come back, tie the game, the overtime was just chaos. And then find a way to win it. And people would, you know, it's one of those games you would feel, people talk about an electric building. You would feel the euphoria even after mm-hmm. the game. There'd be so much happiness in the right. building. And even the thousands of people who would come and cheer for the Canadians, they would have loved the entertainment. They wouldn't have loved that their team didn't win. They might like the fact their team came back four times. But it was just a great would have been a great spectacle. Not necessarily a great hockey game, right. but a great spectacle.
Well, you're right about that. And Wox, you had the stat, and I'll let you read this out, but it's not an overstatement for you, Ian, to say that they will be talking about this game for years, because what happened tonight is something that hasn't happened to a Canucks team in 20 years.
Yeah, it was so from NHL PR, I don't know if you saw this, IMAC, it was the sixth time in franchise history and the first time since 2001 that the Canucks won a game in which they surrendered four leads and five leads, if you want to even, you know, put it in the shootout too. Last time it happened was 2001 against Edmonton, where they won a game like this. So it was if it felt a little historic, it's because it was.
Yeah, but unfortunately, without the crowd, without the witnesses here, I'm not sure that people will be talking about this game for too much longer. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. They obviously have a lot of work to do, the Canucks.
And they just needed the win so badly.
Yeah. And especially, you know, they would have taken, obviously, the win. If you'd said to them before the game, hey, it's going to be 6-5, you guys are going to make some mistakes, but you'll win. Done. We'll take it, right? Mm-hmm. But the way the game, you know, they had chances to, it looked like maybe get ahead by more than one, and then they'd give up just these really easy goals with these defensive miscues, guys being out of position. And had they lost this game, already struggling for confidence, that would have been, you know, rock bottom. Mm-hmm. It's been a while, and you know, I asked a ham-handed question today of Travis Green this morning. And he disagreed with my premise, but I didn't, in fairness to him, he had probably no idea what the heck I was asking about, because at times I don't know what I'm asking about. But the idea is this team under Travis Green has incrementally been better all the time. It's mm-hmm. always been creeping forward. And at times that progress is not as fast as they would like, or anybody else in Canuck Nation for that matter. But they were always kind of moving forward. And especially the last couple of years since Elias Pettersson arrived, when they've encountered tough stretches, it has tended to be after they've played well for a bit. And you're so much better equipped mentally to handle that downtime when you've got some positivity in the bank, and it helps to have those points in the standings too. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time, honestly, since Travis Green got here, where it felt like the team's slipping backwards. And these players haven't experienced that. They haven't experienced a slump, that all-encompassing term, but they haven't experienced that without having anything positive to draw from before that. I mean, the positive they're trying to draw from now is what they did in the playoffs in mm-hmm. August. And that was very positive. But that's an awfully long time ago, right? So I think they had to salvage this game. I just have a hard time imagining what their psyche would have been had they not won this game with all the leads that they had and the opportunities they had.
Well, go on, Box.
Well, I was going to say, this narrative could have been worse too. I mean, when Montreal took that lead late, you're thinking, oh man, not like this. And then with 4 seconds to go, somehow they had a five-alarm chance in front. That would have been an even more devastating way to lose this game. But they won, so things get quieted a little bit. But Tyler Toffoli comes in here and scores three goals. And, you know, this was the... I'm not going to cry over Tanev and Markstrom 6x6. I mean, you go either way on that. But Toffoli was the one for a lot of people that got away and people saying, hey, like, why couldn't you have found a way or bought out this guy or, you know, said goodbye to an RFA or two and found a way back? And he didn't. And then he ends up in Montreal. Now, normally it wouldn't be a big deal because you're playing in the East and what's done is done. But you're going to see Toffoli nine times this year. He's probably going to score 10 goals against. He had three tonight. I feel badly for Jim because it's a tough look on night one, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, he might be happy that Detroit doesn't play the Canucks this year. Otherwise, Troy Stetcher would have a 5-point night or something. It just seems to be the way the season is started. And I don't agree with you disagree with you at all. Which is surprising because I usually do disagree.
You always say that, though, and you never do.
But for a lot of us, it's hard to see, especially when you look at what they're paying Jake on a average salary to what would have taken to get Toffoli, as it turns out. And that's not a straight apples to apples comparison, because let's remember one guy. The Canadians had to commit 4 years and $17 million. That's a lot more than five and change for 2 years. But the point is, they weren't that far away. The only thing that I would say to that, and to get to Foley, the easiest thing would have been to move on from Jake. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've said before, he was the non-UFA least likely to return to the Canucks from last season. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like both he and the team needed a fresh start, right? He wasn't even in the lineup when the playoffs began. The Canucks had kind of evolved around him and beyond him, it felt like, and yet he's back. And so they would have had to move on from Jake, and they'd have had to probably buy out somebody.
Yes.
And what nobody knows, and I doubt that Jim Benning is ever going to tell anyone, is whether ownership would have even allowed to buy somebody out.
Ian, that's exactly it. And that's what I just said before you joined us. And listen, I'm not reporting this because I can't say 100% with facts that this is what happened, but I have an idea. And the way I view the situation, speculation / informed opinion on this, they had a plan to bring Toffoli back. Jim himself, this is not me talking out of school. Jim himself said to the media, we have a plan to bring back Tanev, Markstrom, and Toffoli. We have to talk to ownership and figure this out. And then that plan never really happened. It wasn't as simple as just Jake. You're right. Maybe a buyout. Maybe that's what they needed to do. And I'm not even sure they would have been given the green light unless they were able to move some money off the books to add another long-term contract. Part of that is, well, the financial reality we live in. The other one is, you got to pay Pettersson and Hughes, and we got to look at what the long-term structure is going to be. Because I believe, my opinion here, Ian, that if it was as simple as we let Jake walk and sign Toffoli, they would have done that.
Yeah. And also, if you look at trying to piece together evidence, granted, circumstantial evidence, but look at how the contracts, so many of the contracts are structured now, and what the actual outlay of cash is by the organization this year in player salaries versus what the cap hit is. I mean, it's millions. I can't remember what the figure is. Do you remember, Sat, like what they're paying actually?
The Canucks
salary?
This year are, so the Canucks are paying, they're about roughly $13 to $14 million less in real money towards, as opposed to their cap commitment.
So they're not spending there. We know that the organization is incredibly lean now. There's been so many people who have been furloughed or let go during this great recession for the NHL during the pandemic, and the fact, you know, Travis Green, who's done a terrific job coaching this team, doesn't have a contract because he can't, you know, they don't seem to want to spend money right now. So if you accept that these are this is the case, that they're just doing everything they can, and understandably, and this isn't they're not the only team doing this, right? Most of the 31 teams, Montreal isn't. They were the only guys spending like it was, you know, 2018 still.
Very few teams did.
So a lot of teams were doing this, but given all that, it's hard to see how ownership, when approached, would say, yeah, we'll just buy out Brandon Sutter, or we'll buy out Jay Beagle, whoever it would be. Just pay more money out when you have none coming in. So that's why, you know, I'm not sure. I wish we would know. It'd be awfully interesting to know, but it's one of those things that I don't think we're ever going to fully know.
It's more on those, like, we can give opinions and speculate on a little bit and try to... All I know is I don't think it was as simple as don't bring Jake back and sign Toffoli. I think there's more layers to it than management just deciding not to bring him back. But Walks, we talked about this as well. It's a complex situation because perhaps you would be given the green light if you had less onerous contracts on the books. And if you didn't have, you know, a couple of contracts on the books, maybe you would have more flexibility. So all this stuff ties in, but it's such a complex situation.
Yeah. And even like it's really easy to say, hey, if this team had no bad contracts, they'd be able to do whatever they want. Well, yeah, that's really convenient. If every team had oodles of cap space, they'd be able to do what they want. It's a fine line between being, you know, critical and realizing, hey, like, you can't expect perfection from every acquisition. It's just not, you know, it's just not possible.
No, but I think with these contracts, you know, we could see that they were going to be onerous when they were signed, like the Beagle and Roussel contracts. And Eriksson was just, you know, it was a big miss.
Sure.
And a lot of teams were lined up behind him to take a cut. If Eriksson didn't come here, they'd have liked to have given him $6 million a year for a bunch of years. So these contracts have kind of been looming like a storm cloud on the horizon. It was just a matter of...
And the Luongo thing didn't help, obviously.
Yeah, and when do the clouds get here? And because the team was, frankly, ahead of schedule last year with how they performed... The impact of the bad contracts were ahead of schedule. I think maybe management thought that if they became onerous, it would only be in the final year. It would only be 1 year where you can't do the things you'd like to do. But they did come back and haunt them. And just as I said about, you know, spending priorities for other teams, there's a lot of teams with bad contracts on the books. The good thing about the Canucks' bad contracts is we can all see the light at the end of the tunnel on these. You know, that one more year of Louis, and by the time they pay their bonus this summer, is he really going to go play in the minors for $1 million? Maybe he will. And then they're into the final years with Beagle and Roussel, and it makes it that much easier if you do choose to buy somebody out. Of course, Sutter is off the books. Edler will be off the books, but you're probably going to need him back. Maybe at a lower rate, but
whoever.
So this is the painful year, and it without doubt restricted what they were able to do. And maybe Tyler Toffoli is the player personified as what they were not able to do.
Yeah, and again, you know, whether it was controllable, whether it was unavoidable, all that stuff. It's just no matter what, it's a bad look because he could have come in here and, you know, played just a game and. You win or you lose or whatever, but Markstrom has been a star against them. Toffoli scores a hat trick. I mean, what are you going to do?
But, I mean, let's remember, though, that Tyler Toffoli is a 0.5 per game player on his last contract. I mean, he's a good player. If you're asking me, would I rather have Toffoli or Virtanen, I'd be in the 98% to say, yeah, I'd rather have Tyler Toffoli because we saw firsthand that he does more than just score. But he had one assist in three games coming in. He's playing on the third line on what looks to be a pretty good Montreal team. And we'll see what he finishes with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's historically, if you really break down his numbers, he's more or less a 20, if he stays healthy, about a 20-goal, 45- to 50-point guy. And that's pretty good. But... You know, I think in Vancouver, the perception is this guy would have scored 30 or 35 goals in a full season playing here, and he could be 75 or 80 points because look at how great he did. Well, maybe, because certainly he'd been playing if he was playing with Pettersson and Miller, but he's never done that before, and he's been in the league a while. So I'm not knocking him. I wish that the Canucks had found a way to keep him, but I think the legend of Tyler Toffoli is almost getting a little out of hand versus what he contributed when he was here. Ten games at the end of the regular season, was injured for both playoff victories, and they also had they scuffled through those 10 games. Mm-hmm. He looked great. It wasn't his fault.
Right.
But the team lost four in a row while he was here, too, those 10.
So. It adds to the lore when he scores three goals against the Canucks today, right?
That's why I say, like, people would be talking about this game for years if there'd been a full building.
This is one of the best games of his career. It just does not come at the right time for the narrative, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, he scored a hat-trick in the Winter Classic, right? His last game with L.A. at a hat-trick, and this wasn't his first game with Montreal,
right.
But first game with Montreal back here, he has another hat-trick. So it rises to the moment.
Okay, well, final thoughts here before we wrap up on the Canucks Central post-game show here on Sportsnet 650. Bo Horvat, great game. Brock Besser, fantastic game. JT Miller, strong game. And they really needed some stars to step up because Hughes had a couple of assists, but defensively hasn't quite been the same. He looks like he's dealing with something, although he played 27 minutes. Pettersson, great first period, effort-wise, drew a penalty. You saw the frustration start building and building as the game went on here. We haven't seen all these guys, and maybe it's asking a lot for all the stars to align at the same time and play their best hockey at the same exact time, but you know, we haven't really seen this team click yet because we haven't seen their two best players get going yet.
No, but Pettersson tonight will still be feeling good because, number one, his team won.
Yes.
But the power play and his line mates, the power play was good, and his line mates got a bunch of points. He was part of that, even if he didn't get a point. He would feel good about that. The Sedins often said that the power play helped them feel better about the even strength. And even if they were struggling at even strength, if the power play was going, they just felt better about tackling whatever the issues were at even strength. And I think there's probably some of that tonight for Elias Pettersson as well. For sure, he can still play better. The whole team can still play better than what we saw tonight. It'll be interesting to see tomorrow who shows up on defense with Edler not finishing. And as you say, Hughes at times laboring. It looked familiar to how he looked for a few games in the Vegas series, where he didn't look great for a few games, and then he kind of got going again. But you know, at least they can deal with these issues now with a little positivity because they won the game. Wild to think, by the way, that if the Canucks win in regulation time tomorrow, they'll be tied in the standings with the Canadiens. They've had this feeling like it's an awful start, and it has been. Like those three games that they lost were dismal, and the Canadiens are this up-and-coming team and off to a great start. If Canucks win, they'll be tied. Canadiens will have a game in hand, but they'll be tied in points.
It tells you what kind of season it has been, right? And, you know, I made this point before the game started, Walks, too. I really like the Canucks' chances in Game 2 of this doubleheader because it's not going to be Carey Price in goal. You know, their team from the East out here playing. It doesn't bode well for that team. You find a way to win this game tonight and the Canucks eked it out, you gain confidence. Opportunities are knocking here tomorrow for the Canucks.
They are, and you know, they were victims, complicit, you know, in Edmonton, where they had a chance to come back after winning the first game in sweep, and you know what a difference that might have made, you know, to start 2-0 and have all that confidence going into Calgary rather than 1-1 and you get schooled in game two because you look like you're not ready, you look like the hard part is done that you won the first game. So hopefully the Canucks learn from that, know that Montreal is going to be a lot better tomorrow, at least play with probably more intensity and urgency, although I didn't really think that was their problem tonight either. I mean, they were physical. They went after Hughes. But you're right that Carey Price won't be in net. But you know that Montreal is going to feel like they need to give a better game. Hopefully the Canucks, having that memory from Edmonton so fresh in their minds, can go and win tomorrow. Because if you win tomorrow, now it's house money. I mean, you'd like to win all three. But if you go 2-1 this series, 2-1 the next series against Ottawa, and maybe you find a way to get an extra point against Ottawa, well, now you're above water again, right? And you're giving yourself a chance. You're back in the middle of the fight. But they got to play better, though. I mean, the offensively, really good things tonight. But the defense is a mess. You know, it, and part of that was the chaos tonight of guys, you know, Chatfield's first game, and you're trying to protect him, but now all of a sudden Edler's out. You're also having, you know, Hamonic and Schmidt are making uncharacteristically poor plays. And Schmidt was very honest with us on the weekend about how difficult this transition has been, you know, after playing in Vegas and trying to train yourself so you embrace the new system instead of relying on what you did in some other team's system, because that doesn't work. Hamonic is struggling as well. And of course, we know that he had no camp at all to get ready. So, you know, it's a lot of uncertainty right now on the defense. But again, like every other problem, it's easier to deal with from a position of positivity and a little bit more strength in the standings, having got the 2 points tonight.
And a big opportunity tomorrow to get to 500, gain ground in the standings, and we'll set yourself up for the third game against the Montreal Canadiens coming up this weekend. Satyar Shah, Andrew Walker, thanks to our guest Ian McIntyre joining us here at the rink, where the Canucks win 6-5 in overtime. Read Ian's latest on sportsnet.ca. Triple threat, radio, TV, digital, he does it all. Walks, you and I are back at it again tomorrow, 4 p.m. the program. A lot to talk about, and also set up the pregame show, Canucks and Habs, tomorrow. Thanks to Cam J. Bear, our producer here on site, Josh Elliott Wolf. Have a great night. You've been listening to the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.